You may be seated as you are able. That is a lovely song, and I can see why it's especially relevant here. It's by a Spanish composer who, in the wake of the Second Vatican Council, led a kind of revival of new modern Catholic Church music, and we've picked up some of that in other Christian traditions. It's a lovely song. Thank you for singing that one this morning. I'm delighted to be here today. It's wonderful to be part of this very, very historical place. Thank you for that piece of history that you shared with us this morning. And thank you for the opportunity to be here today. I'm going to begin by reading a passage of Scripture from the prophet Isaiah, beginning at the 51st chapter and the first verse. "Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. For I called him alone, and blessed him, and increased him. For Adonai the Lord shall comfort Zion, he will comfort all her waste places. And he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I am indeed very happy to be with you this morning at Epworth Heights. If you can come this evening at 8:30 p.m. on the lake shore or very close thereto, I will be speaking on Sabbath, space, and perspective, how religious traditions use particular times and particular places to give us deeper perspective. And then tomorrow morning for Monday Musings, I'm going to be speaking on sweet hours of prayer. You may know an old gospel song by that title, Sweet Hour of Prayer, but I'm going to talk about Jewish and Christian and even Muslim traditions for prayer throughout the day and then raise some questions about our own prayer lives. I invite you to join us for those seasons. But what a wonderful place this is through the hospitality of Vicki and Mike Sandifer, Loblolly Cottage. I have come to understand that Epworth Heights is a kind of home to which families return each summer, generation after generation. I wonder if you realize how exceptional that is in American life. 3 years ago, I was back in Oxford, England, where Dale and I had lived for 2 years in the 1970s. When you go back to Oxford, you see the same streets and the same buildings that were there not only in the 1970s, but that were there very much the same streets and buildings that were there 250 years ago when John Wesley was a student at Christ Church and then a fellow of Lincoln College. Many of them the same streets and buildings from Oxford's medieval past. But not so when I visit my home city of Beaumont, Texas. The house where I spent my young years in Beaumont was demolished in the early 1980s. The church that my grandparents attended and where my parents were married and where I was baptized was formally deconsecrated 2 weeks ago. The congregation disbanded and now it's on the auction block. The little Methodist church where I was formed as a Christian has long since ceased to function, and although the building is still there, the congregation has been disbanded and its building is used by a congregation of another denomination. The elementary school I attended was demolished in 2010. The junior high school I attended no longer functioning, and most of its buildings have been demolished. My high school, Forest Park High School, subsequently merged with another school and changed its name. The beloved little junior college where Dale and I met and where her parents met each other and where one of our daughters attended a beloved Methodist breeding ground in East Texas, where my parents went to church. Summer camps closed in 2012, and its buildings have been sold. Every single institution that formed me from my earliest days through my earliest college years are pretty much dead and gone now, and I can't go home to those places. Is that the American way? We just build disposable institutions, disposable cities and suburbs that don't persist through time, and when we return to the places that were our homes, seems like there's hardly anything left that connects us to those places. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 28. Remove not the ancient landmark which thy fathers have set. So what a remarkable place this is, Epworth Heights, a place where families have gathered through long generations since 1896, a place that has cultivated its past, as you have heard this morning, a place that looks visibly like the place you visited as children, and the place where your mothers and fathers gathered before you. It is indeed a privilege for me and Dale to be invited to this community. And how appropriate that we begin the summer season here with a time of remembrance for those called home in the last year. We begin with memory, and this morning I want to reflect on our memories as families and our memory of what it means to be distinctively Christian. We begin with memory. Look unto Abraham, your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. Memory tells us who we are. I am from a family that has dealt for two generations at least with the terrifying reality of Alzheimer's disease, a disease that threatens the core of a person's identity, their memory of who they are. So we begin with memory, for memory tells us not just about the past, but memory tells us who we are today. When Dale and I arrived in Washington, D.C. in the summer of 1993, people were still telling stories about President George H.W. Bush, who had left the White House in January of that year. One story was about a time when President Bush visited a nursing home in the Virginia suburbs. He met an elderly woman who seemed a little confused, and he asked her, he said, "Do you know who I am?" She said, "No, sonny, but if you go to the nurse's station, they'll tell you." This is where we are. Memory is not a luxury. Memory is not trivial. Memory tells us who we are. So here's a practical suggestion for this summer at Epworth Heights. Why not make it a time of memory for your family, a time to share family stories and record them so future generations will have access to them? As a historian and a family genealogist, I am intensely aware of how fast family memories disappear. We say at a funeral or memorial service, we will never forget them, but memories perish rapidly. For many of my ancestors, the only information I have is the inscription on their tombstone, maybe a United States federal census record. Would that someone in their time or shortly after their deaths had written down some things about them, just a few things perhaps, and found a way to preserve those memories for their families. An African proverb says, "When an old man dies, a library burns to the ground." Every day, libraries are burning to the ground. Many of you here this morning are carrying memories that will perish with you if they are not recorded. And in the long run, those memories might be the most important inheritance that you can hand on to your children. So just as you guard other parts of your inheritance that you leave for your children, so guard your memories. Record them. Write them down. Turn on an audio or a video recorder while you're looking at the family pictures or videos, and tell some stories and find a way to copy and keep your memories and hand them on. Future generations will thank you, and your family will have a clearer sense of who they are. And sisters and brothers, as Christians, we have an even greater, an even more sacred memory to hand on. A story that tells us who we are as Christian people. Do you know Jewish people? Have you ever been with Jewish people at Passover? How do they answer the question, who are we as Jewish people? If you have been with a Jewish a family at Passover, you know that they answer that question with a sacred memory enshrined in an ancient ritual. On the first night of Passover, the youngest child in a Jewish family, traditionally the youngest son in the family, asks a seemingly simple question. Father, why is this night different from all other nights? And the father responds with a ritual of memory that begins like this. An Aramean tried to destroy my father. He went down to Egypt and sojourned there with meager numbers. But there he became a great and very populous nation. And as the father continues the story, he is telling not a trivial memory. He is telling a memory that tells Jewish people who they are as a people. Sisters and brothers, who are we as Christians? We answer that question by reciting a memory, by telling an old, old story that we know so well and that we love to tell. The story of Jesus and His love, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose from the dead on the third day according to the Scriptures, as St. Paul recorded that memory, already a memory handed down in tradition in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We recite that same story in our creeds. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, He rose again. Yes, Methodists, He descended to the dead. For very odd reasons in our history, I can tell you about sometime, we remove those words from the creed. But when we confirm young people, we make sure that they say the full ecumenical version of the creed. We recite the story of Jesus over and over again. That's our story. That's the story we love to tell. And when we come to the table of the Lord, we proclaim Christ's death until He comes again, as we recite that memory again and again, and we say, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. That's our memory. That's our story. That's what Paul called the gospel, the good news. And that's who we are as Christians. We are the people who keep that memory. That sacred memory has been handed on to you, and it is your sacred responsibility to hand it on to your children and to others. So we call the past to our present, and we press it forward to our future. We look forward to God's future when the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places and make her wilderness like Eden and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. We look to the past for our anchor in the present and for our inspiration for the future. Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Right now, today, hearken. Ye that follow after righteousness, right now, today. Ye that seek the Lord, today. And right now, look backwards. Look unto the rock from whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged. Look unto Abraham your father and unto Sarah that bare you. Right now, today, look backwards. And right now, today, look forwards, for the Lord shall comfort Zion. In the future, the Lord shall comfort Zion. We look forward to that future right now. So, sisters and brothers in Christ, I exhort you to cultivate your memories as families. Hand them down to your children as precious treasures. And cultivate the sacred memory of who we are as Christians. Hand on to your children the sacred story of Jesus and His love. Look unto the rock from whence ye are hewn, and to the hole of the pit from which ye are digged. Look unto Abraham your father, and unto Sarah that bare you. Look unto Christ, the rock on whom our hope is built. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.